The daf for today is Kuf Yud Ches, and let's just review what we know. There's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Chidka. What is the minimum number of seudos a person is obligated to eat on Shabbos? The Chachamim say 3, whereas Rabbi Chidka says 4. And our Mishnah that we're studying here addresses the question of how many seudos you save on Shabbos in the case of a dleika, of a fire. And the Mishnah makes it dependent upon when the fire broke out. If the fire broke out on Leil Shabbos, on Friday night, then matzilin mazon shalosh seudos. The Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah, that he hasn't yet eaten his first of 4 seudos, of the 3 seudos, and therefore he will save 3 seudos. So the Gemara says, my love, shouldn't we assume delo achal, he hasn't yet eaten his Friday night meal, and therefore he foresees fulfilling his obligation of eating 3 more meals? So we see that this Mishnah reflects the sheet of the Chachamim of Rabbi Chidka. The Gemara has a vested interest to try to reconcile our Mishnah even with Rabbi Chidka. Lo, so the Gemara says the Achal. The case is he has already eaten his Friday night dinner, so he has 1 seudah under his belt, and now he has to add another 3 seudos. So even though he ate the first of his seudos, he will save for himself 3 more seudos, because our Mishnah is Rabbi Chidka, or at least could be Rabbi Chidka. Let's go on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shachris matzilin mazon shtei seudos. If a fire broke out in the morning, then he only saves 2 seudos. It would seem that the point is that he hasn't yet eaten his second seudah, and therefore he foresees eating his second seudah and his third seudah, and therefore he saves 2 seudos. Once again, reflecting the sheet of the Chachamim. My love to lo ochal, lo di ochal. Once again, the Gemara rejects it. And we're talking about a case where he's already eaten his suda of Shachris. After he ate his suda, the fire broke out. He foresees, according to Rav Chidka, eating 2 more sudos, and therefore he saves 2 sudos. B'mincha, the Mishnah says, if the fire broke out in the afternoon on Shabbos, mincha time, matzilin mazon suda achas. Which means, the Pashtus, that he ate his Friday night meal, he ate his Shabbos morning meal, and now he foresees eating Shalosh Seudos, his third meal, and therefore he saves only 1 Seudah. Once again, reflecting the sheet of the Chachamim, and the Gemara answers, lo, the Ochal. We're talking about a person who's already eaten his third meal in the afternoon, but Rabbi Chidka requires that you eat a fourth meal, and therefore he will save 1 Seudah. The Gemara raises the following objection. V'hamidik tani seifa, the end of the Mishnah records the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that li'ola matzilin mazon shalosh sudas. No matter what time of the day it is, no matter how many sudas he's already eaten, there's a standard absolute rule that he saves, and he's allowed to save 3 sudas. Apparently then, michlal de tanakama shalosh sfirale. There was never a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi about how many meals he has to eat on Shabbos. He's required to eat 3 meals. The only nafkamina is, when he's doing a hatzolah and he's already fulfilled part of his obligation, then do we subtract it, or is there a standard absolute 3 seuda hatzolah law? But both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi agree that you're required to eat 3 seudas, not 4 seudos. So now we have to go back to our original assumption, and that is that the Mishnah reflects the sheet of the Chachamim. 3 sudas is the requirement, and Rabbi Chidka is not reflected in our Mishnah, because again, Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim in our Mishnah agree that the number of sudas you're required to eat is 3. There's a secondary machlokas, and that is, what happens if he's already eaten 1 or 2 of the sudas? And here Rabbi Yossi says, no, we can always guarantee him and allow him to save 3 sudas. But everybody agrees in our Mishnah, at least, that 3 sudas is the requirement, And that, the Gemara, if you recall, that we learned yesterday, derives from the fact that it says Hayom three times in the Parsha of Man. And that's the source for the three sudos that he has to eat on Shabbos. Some poskim write that even though the Gemara seems to indicate we paskin like the Chacham against Rabbi Chid, could nevertheless, if a person wants to do the best and fulfill the sheet of Rabbi Chidka, and he wants to eat a fourth meal on Shabbos, is Tovol La Bracha. He should be blessed. My Rebbe Zichron of Bracha used to always tell us that the mitzvah of eating three seudos on Shabbos is part of a mitzvah which is midivrei Kabbalah, which means that we derive from Tanakh, and it's all included in a parasha in Yeshayahu HaNavi, which hopefully we'll get to today, in which Yeshayahu commands us in the mitzvah of a karasal Shabbos Oneg, and Oneg Shabbos has to be fulfilled with three sudos. And although Oneg Shabbos is written in Tanakh, it's not in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, it does have a quasi-deoraisa status, and that's called Divrei Kabbalah. It's not just a rabbinic enactment, but it's something that was an obligation generated by the Nevi'im. And it's upgraded to a higher level because it's Midivrei Kabbalah. The Gemara now asks the following question, Hadisnan, what about that part of our Mishnah that says, actually this Mishnah that the Gemara is quoting has to do with another area of Halacha, which is called Matnos Aniyim. And there's an entire Masechet in Shas dedicated to the gifts that we have to give, the charity to poor people. That's called Masechet Peah. And the Torah says you have to give the Ani Miser 10% of your produce. That's on years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle. Instead of Miser Sheni, it's replaced by Miser Ani. And you have to give him a Nesina. The Torah says V'nosan. And Nesina requires a Nesina Chashuva, something of significance, which is the equivalent of Mazon Shtei Seudos. You have to give him two meals. Back in the day, they used to survive on two meals a day. Today, we're a little bit more Mifunakim. You know, we eat three meals a day. So the Mishnah says, Mishi Yeshlo Mazon Shtei Seudos, Lo Yitol Minatamchui. The Mishnah wants to establish different gradations and different parts of the community chest as far as charity is concerned. There's the basic, what we would call today, soup kitchen charity, and that's called a tamchui. That's for someone who is so destitute, he's literally has no food for his table. If he has food for two sudos, doesn't sound like he's a very rich guy, he has all his assets come to the value of two sudos, he's already out of the category of tamchui. Tamchui is really simply for the basics, someone who needs a meal to eat. If he has mazon arbaesre sudos, then lo yito mina kupa. So we go from tamchui to kupa, and kupa is designated for a person who cannot make it through a two-week period of time. He doesn't have enough assets to buy food for 2 weeks worth of food. And if we assume that on a daily basis, your average person eats two seudos, so if we take this period of, a week, so we're going to multiply it by two. So you have 7 days, and within the course of 7 days, he will eat 14 seudos, two seudos per day. If he has less than that, he doesn't own the value of 14 seudos, then he collects from the kupa. He can't collect from the tamchui, but he collects from the kupa. Once he has in his bank account enough for 14 sudos, which means he can get by a week with what he has, then he doesn't take from the kupa. Then he could go out to the fields and he can collect Miser Oni on those years when the obligation is for Miser Oni. So the Gemara says, I don't follow here. How do you come up with the number 14 seudos after all? Every 7 days, every week, includes a Shabbos. And as such, he will need another meal. We'll call it meal number 15 to get by that week, because although on 6 out of 7 days, he can get by with 2 meals a day, so 2 times 6 is 12. When it comes to Shabbos, he needs 3 meals, so we have to jack up the number to 15. So the Gemara analyzes the following. Mani. Who is the author of that Mishnah in Masechta Peah? Lo Rabbanav, lo Rabbi Chidka. It actually doesn't work out with either sheet. According to Rabbanon, we should be jacking up the number to 15 sudos, because we have to add that third sud of Shabbos. According to Rabbi Chidka, we should jack up the number to 16 sudos, because on Shabbos he has to eat 4 sudos. I Rabbanon, chamsere havyan. If it's the Rabbanan Shita that on Shabbos eat 3 sudos, then we have to jack up the number from 14 to 15. I Rabbi Chidka, shis serei havyon. We have to jack it up by an extra suda because we need 4 sudas on Shabbos, hence the number 16. Li olam Rabbanan. I can interpret the Mishnah in Peah according to the Rabbanan. The Amrina lay, here's a fellow who has 14 sudos. How's he going to get by Shabbos? He only has 2 sudos for that Shabbos. And the answer is, we're going to tell him, my de bois lemechal be'afuke shabsa, achle be'shabsa. In other words, you could combine 2 meals into one. On Shabbos afternoon, you have to eat your 3rd meal, according to the Chachamim, sometime before nightfall. Well, eat your meal, or start your meal right before nightfall, eat your meal after nightfall. Let that meal count not only as your 3rd meal for Shabbos, but also as your 1st meal for Sunday. And this is what we call killing 2 birds with 1 stone. So the Gemara says, so lema rabbanan hi velo rabbi chidka. Shall we therefore assume that the Mishnah in Peah reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, the magic number is 14, and he can get by on Shabbos because he takes 1 suda, sort of he steals 1 suda from Sunday and he attaches it to Saturday, because his third suda on Shabbos will count both, his ol lekan ol lekan, it's both for Shabbos and Sunday. But that's against Rabbi Chidka. I mean, Rabbi Chidka can't work out over here, because although you've managed to keep within the 14 meal limit, but you certainly, even if you use that Shalashudas meal for 2, both for Shabbos and Sunday, you still have another meal that you require, because Rabbi Chidka requires 4 meals on Shabbos. So Gemara answers, Afilu Temer Rabbi Chidka, the Amrina Lei, what we're going to tell this Oni is, my debois lamecha memale Shabsa, achle liurta. In other words, you can save another weekday meal by attaching one of the Shabbos meals to your weekday meal. So, let's say, for example, on Friday, you know, he's meant to eat, let's say, 1 meal during the course of the day. Let that meal, now again, this works out during the winter months, perhaps. You know, Shabbos starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I can understand how you can sort of bridge your meal of Friday with your meal of Shabbos, and you can chop around 1 meal and count it as 2. I don't know how you're going to work this out in the summer months. So Gemara now asks for Kuli Yom and Damali Shabbos v'Tanisa Mosvinen Leh. He's got to wait to eat his Friday meal until he can attach it to his Shabbos meal. In effect, you're asking him to fast the entire Friday. Ella says, the Gemara, Homani Rabbi Akiva hi, di Omar Asei Shabbat Chachol, the altitz tarech librios. We have here a principle of Rabbi Akiva, and although the Mishnah in Peah could reflect the shita of Rabbi Chidka, and you're required to eat 4 meals on Shabbos, but nevertheless, a poor person who cannot afford, given his assets in the bank, to eat the amount of meals on Shabbos that he's required to eat, then Rabbi Akiva says, Asei Shabbat Chachol. You have 2 choices here. You're at a crossroads. You can either collect charity in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos and suda properly, or you can avoid taking charity, which is kind of public funds, and give up or forfeit, shall we say, your mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. Now, what would you say? Intuitively, I hear both sudden. You know, maybe charity. Okay, take charity to fulfill the mitzvah of Suda. It's embarrassing to take charity. You're, in a sense, siphoning off communal funds, but you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos properly. Comes along Rabbi Akiva with his principle, Asei Shabbat Chol. Chol meaning, make your Shabbos like it was a weekday. Don't add extra sudos because you don't want to burden yourself on the tzibur. You don't want to embarrass yourself by having to take tztaka. And you'll eat the same amount of sudos on Shabbos that you would eat during the week. And that's called Asei Shabbat Chol V'Al Tetzareich Lebrios. So the Gemara now asks the question, V'hodisnan, what do we do with the Mishnah that says, Ein pochsin li aniya over mi makom le makom mi kikar befunjon me arba se'in besela? So the Mishnah tells us that if you have a poor man who's traveling from place to place, he's passing through the city, and that means he's going to leave the city before nightfall, is then we supply him with a minimum of one kikar, one loaf of bread, bifunjon, which would sell for a certain coin called a funjon, me arba se'in besela. Now, this reflects what we call inflation and deflation. In other words, the Gemara wants to give us a standard sum of money, of amount of funds, for that kikar. So the Gemara says that at that time, you would buy a kikar at 4 saw of flour for a sella, so that we know now what it would cost to feed him. This is in a case where he's passing through the city, he's not sleeping overnight. Lun. However, if he's sleeping overnight, he doesn't have a roof over his head, so in addition to being poor and he can't afford food, we have to worry about his place to sleep for the night. That's going to cost him a couple of bucks as well. And therefore, we have to give him provisions so that he could sleep overnight. The im Shabbos, let's say he's spending Shabbos in the city, nosim lo mazon sholosh seudos. We have to give him 3 seudos for Shabbos. So lema rabbanon hi velo rabbi chidka. Here the Mishnah seems to certainly reflect the shita rabbanon. How do you square off with Rabbi Chidka requires 4 sudas on Shabbos? Liolam rabbi chidka. I can reconcile this Mishnah rabbi chidka to ikas suda vade. The case is that he has 1 suda, and we're going to supply him with 3 sudos so he can fulfill the mitzvah of 4 sudas of Shabbos. The amrinan lei hodi ikas badoch achle. You're carrying with you most aniyim, even when they go from one city to the other, they carry with them at least mazon for 1 suda till they get, you know, the tztaka money from the kupa. They have to have something to eat, so they bring with them one suda. And eat that suda, we'll supply you with another 3 sudas. That's how Rabbi Chidka is going to interpret this Mishnah. Now, wait a second. You're giving him 3 sudas for Shabbos. What happens on Sunday? Are you going to send him empty-handed without any suda? How can the Mishnah say that all you do is supply him with 3 sudos? And the Gemara answers, no. The Mishnah is only talking about what we have to supply him to get by the day of Shabbos, because he's spending Shabbos in the city. But the Malavin lay su'uda ba'day. Then we have another chiyuv which is called levaya. Levaya means when we escort him out of the city, we have to provide him with another meal so that he'll cover his morning Sunday meal, and then on his way, hopefully he'll get to the next city and they'll provide him with whatever he needs from that point on. Now, if he's spending the night in the city, then we in the city have to supply him with what he needs, his provisions for overnight sleeping. So the Gemara asks, my parnosas lina, What does that entail? Amar Papa, Puria Ubeistaya. A bed and a pillow. Or some say a bed and bedding. Torah Rabbana, we learned today, Braisa Ka'arol Shachal Bahem Arvis. Now we're talking about what's called Hachana. On Shabbos, we're only allowed to involve ourselves in Tircha, in that effort, and that expend that effort for Shabbos itself, but not for Chol. So if he eats his meal, is he allowed to clean his dishes? And it's a common question. You know, you're allowed to wash the dishes. So the Braisa is very stingy about it. It says the following. Ka'ara shachal bahen arvis. He's got only one set of dishes. Not like us. You know, we have tons of dishes. So he eats in a dish, in a bowl or a plate, his Friday night meal. Medichin. He's allowed to clean the dishes. Lechol behen shachar, so that now we'll have washed clean dishes for the Saturday morning meal. Shachris, now he's already eaten his morning meal on Shabbos morning. Medichon lechol behen b'tzorayim. Now he wants to prepare himself for the next meal, right? So what do we have so far? We had the Friday night meal, and he cleans them for the Shabbos meal. Now he ate his Shabbos morning meal. He washes his dishes in order to eat his meal in the afternoon. Okay, fine. B'shachri b'tzorayim. Medichim lechol mehen b'mincha. Now, at this point, it sounds like he's washing his dishes to eat his third meal. And yet, the Braisa teaches us that min mincha v'elech shuv einim adiach. According to Rabbi Chidka, he should be allowed to wash his dishes after meal number 3 to prepare himself for meal number 4. Apparently, this Braisa reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, and max obligation is 3 seudos. Therefore, min mincha v'elech, he's already eaten his third meal, shuv einim adiach. He's got to leave his plates and wash them after Shabbos. That's as far as plates are concerned, which are used for solid food. Then we have utensils that we use for liquid foods, for liquids. Aval kosos v'kitonos utzluchios. These are different types of cups that are used for drink. You have drinking cups, drinking ladles, drinking pitchers. Is meidiach. Veholech kol yom kulo. He's allowed to wash them without any restriction whatsoever. Lefisha ein keva l'shtia. People might want to drink at any time, between meals, during meals, after meals, and therefore he always has to be prepared with his drinking utensils to make sure they're clean, and he's allowed to clean them. There's no limit. So imagine, I finished my su'udash lishit, and I have cups. I'm allowed to wash those cups. Why? I mean, I finished my last meal. The answer is, I might want to drink something. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora. Now we get to a very famous Haggadah about the rewards that God has designated for those who fulfill this great mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, Onik Shabbos, eating Shalosh Sudos. It's called Makayim Sholosh Sudas B'Shabbos Nitzol Misholosh Puronios. He'll be spared 3 terrible types of calamities. Number 1, Michevlo Shel Mashiach. During the time of Mashiach, there will be certain suffering, psychological suffering, which is called Chevlo Shel Mashiach. He'll be spared from that because he eats 3 sudos. Umidino Shel Gehenom. From the judgment of Gehenna, and finally, Mimilchemes Gog Umagog. At the end of time, there'll be a great military confrontation between Gog, the king of Magog, at the time of the ultimate redemption, and he will be spared from that terrible period of time. And now the Gemara wants to quote Psukim to prove each one of these three. Mechevlo shel Mashiach. How do we know that someone who's careful to eat three sudas on a regular basis will be spared from the pains of Mashiach Zeiten, as we call it? And the answer is we have a gzeres shava yom yom. Ksiv hacha, with regard to the three times that it repeats the word yom for three sudas on Shabbos. Ksiv hasam there, in the nevuah of Malachi, regarding the coming of the Messiah, it says yom. Shenemer, it says in Malachi, it's at the end of the Tanakh, we read this as one of our Haftorahs, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom HaShem HaGadol VeHaNora. And once again it says Hayom, and it says Lifnei Bo Hayom. That means right before the day of Mashiach, which is the harbinger of which is going to be Eliyahu. He's going to tell us that Mashiach is on the way. And we make this Gzeir Shavah to tell us that the Kodem Shiova Mashiach, which is referring to the Chevle Mashiach, he will be spared from that because of his Hayom, his observance of the three Sudas of Shabbos. Midina Shal Gehenim, once again, a Gzeir Shavah of Yom Yom. Ksiv Hacha, here in Shabbos it says Yom. Ksiv Hasam, with regard to Gehenim, it says in Tzfanya Novi, Yom Evra Hayom Hu. Again, the word Yom, referring to Evra. Evra is the day of Dina Shel Gehenom, and he will be spared. Melchemes Gog Umagog, Ksiv Hacha Yom. Again, in Shabbos it says Yom. Uksiv Hasam, with regard to the great battle of Gog Umagog, in Sefer Yechezkel it says, B'yom Bo Gog. And that Yom is going to teach us that through Suda Shabbos he will be spared the Melchama of Gog Umagog. Whoever fulfills the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos properly, nosnim lo, they grant him as a reward, nachla b'li mitzarim, which means b'li keitz ugvul. There's no limit to how much his portion will be like. He will have that infinite, eternal portion in the world to come. Shenemar, it says in Yeshayahu HaNavi, this is the parasha that I was referring to before, chapter 58 in Yeshayahu HaNavi. It says, V'karasel Shabbos Oneg, and Oz Tis Aneg Al Hashem, V'hirkav Ticha, Al Bomasei Oretz, V'hechal Ticha, Nachlas Yaakov Avicha. So let's just translate the pasuk into English. If you proclaim the Shabbos a delight, Oneg, then you should be granted pleasure with Hashem. I shall mount you astride the heights of the world. I will provide you with the heritage of your forefather, Yaakov. Now the question is, why Yaakov? What's the heritage of Yaakov? And here we're on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Omid Beis. It says Yaakov, Nachlas Yaakov, V'lo nachla ki Avram. Not like the nachla, the portion, the heritage that was promised to Avram Avinu. Shekasuv bo, when Hashem in Parshas Lech Lech promises the great reward to Abraham, he says to him, Kuv his aleich ba'aretz li'archa ulerochba ki l'chot nena. And he defines the nachla of Avram that's bounded by the boundaries of Arka and Rochba. So we have now a limited Nachla, which is called Nachla Sheyeshla Keitz, for Loki Yitzchak. And this pasuk that we're dealing with of Kinachla Velchelticha, Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Nachlas Yaakov, it doesn't mention Yitzchak, Shekosubo, Ki Lecha Ulazarcha, Tainis Kol Arotzos Ha'el. Once again, limiting him to these lands. Ela ki Yaakov shekosuv bo ufaratzta yoma v'kedma tzofon v'negba. There's no boundary. And If any of you are Lubavitchers, this is a very famous niggun that the Hasidim like to sing. Okay, if you don't know the niggun, you're not going to sing along with me. And anyway, so Yaakov was known as the Av of the three Avos who observed the Shabbos, because it says Vayichan es pnei ha'ir with regard to Yaakov in Bereishis Lamed Gimel, and Chazal say that Vayichan es pnei ha'ir, he set up his chanoya, which is called Chum Shabbos. He was a Sabbath observer, even though for sure Avraham and Yitzchak also observed the Shabbos, Chazal tell us, even Erev Tavshilin. But nevertheless, there's a special Nachla below Mitzarim with regard to Yaakov. Yaakov achieves that level. And perhaps what it means is that Yaakov is the culmination of the three Avos. He represents Klal Yisrael. He's going to have a gift, a divine promise of a Nachla below Mitzarim. In other words, there's no Gvulos to Eretz Yisrael mentioned by Yaakov Avinu. And this has to do with the Halach of Kibush, which is a very profound sugya Masechti Gittin. To what extent can we expand the bounds of Eretz Yisrael, to which point? I wasn't referring to annexation, by the way. That's a Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Omar, Nitzol Mishibud Malchiyus Shebegolios. Another understanding of the reward for Onik Shabbos is to be saved and spared from the subjugation of the kingships during our periods of exile. And this is a midah connected midah, probably because he was makabel on himself the Ol of Shabbos, and therefore we take off his shoulders the Ol of Golios. And how do we know this? Ksiv hocha in Yeshayahu Navi regarding to Shabbos, v'karosa l'Shabbos oneg oz tisaneg al Hashem. And then the reward is promised to Katicha al Bamose Eretz Uksiv Hasam. In the end of the Chumash, it says with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha that he bestows before his death on Klal Yisrael, it says Ashrecha Yisrael Mikomocha Amno Shabashem. And then it says Viato al Bamoseinu Bamosemo Tidroch. Again, the same language of Bamose. And it teaches us that just like Bamoseinu here at the end of Dvarim is a sparing from the enemies of Israel who will be suppressing us, so too Bamosei Oretz in Yeshayahu Novi for he who observes the Shabbos properly. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Kolam Adigas Shabbos Nosin Lo Mishalos Libo. For Onik Shabbos, he will be able to ask Hashem for whatever he asks for, and with those petitions, he'll be able to fulfill whatever he needs. And the Beis Yosef adds another interesting point here. He says that Hashem will certainly grant him what he needs, because Hashem wants him to continue fulfilling the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. But I wanted to mention to you the Marsha in this context. The Marsha writes, then on one hand, Mefazer hu mamono, hu motzi otzos merubos kedei lianegis haShabbos. On the one hand, he's spending a lot of money for Onik Shabbos. Umitzad sheni, on the other hand, eino rashoi levakish tzrochav b'Shabbos. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that we don't ask for tztokah for Shabbos. So here he's spending so much money for Onik Shabbos, and then if he needs more money, he's not allowed to ask the community to support him for that. Asei Shabbat Chachol, as we said before. Therefore, kidei shelo yidro hal tzaoso, so he shouldn't be nervous about spending too much money for Onik Shabbos. Huvtach lo, sha'af she'eino shoel es tzrocho b'peh, even though he's not coming to ask for charity, but there's an implicit bakasha to Kadosh Baruch Hu, God, let me fulfill this mitzvah in the most proper way, in the most ideal way. Is therefore Yamali Hashem Mishalos Libo V'yitein Lo Mashahotzi, God will replace the monies that he spent for Shabbos. But Mema Ango, now the Gemara wants to get into details about the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. And I never understood this Gemara. I would have thought, but Mema Ango is a very subjective question. You know, you like cholent, so make cholent. I don't like cholent, I like schnitzel, so I'll make schnitzel. So the Gemara's answer is, Rav Yehuda Bered, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei, the Rav Amar, I'll give you the secret for Onik Shabbos, B'tavshel Shel Trodin. Interesting. This is basically cooked beets. Not everyone likes cooked beets, but I guess if you like it, it's a very nice Onik Shabbos. It's very healthy as well. V'dogim Gidolim, and larger fish. Apparently, the larger fish have a more beautiful taste. And we'll see this again and again. V'roshei Shumin, garlic. For those who like garlic, here you got it. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Omer Rav, afilu davar muat lichvod Shabbos asov. A person cannot afford neither beets nor big fish. Fish are more expensive than meat today, I don't know. Anyway, so what should he do? He should do something that's unique, that's different for Shabbos in comparison to the rest of the week. A davar muat. If that's all he can afford, let him do a davar muat. Ulechvod Shabbos asol. But he makes it and he prepares it specifically for the sake of Shabbos, covered Shabbos, areza oneg. That's considered oneg Shabbos. Maihi. Now, I don't know, again, I don't know what it means, maihi. I mean, you know, there are a million answers to maihi. What? How can you buy some davar muat that's special for Shabbos? The Gemara somehow wants to objectify it or give us a good recommendation. Omar Rav Papa, kasa daharsana. Kasa daharsana is a kind of a dish that the Gemara talks about in Perakira. You may recall that there were certain small fish that's very easy to cook them. That's called kaliabishal. That was Gemara that we had back in the third Perak. And kasa daharsana are small fish that are fried with oil, and you add flour to them, sort of like small fried fish, and they're very tasty. They're small, they're cheap, and for a poor person, that's going to be his own Shabbos. But again, if he's eating kasa d'harsana the whole week long, that's not going to be a kiyum of Onik Shabbos. In some way, he's got to make Shabbos special and different than the rest of the week. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Amar Rav Yochanan kol ha'mishamer Shabbos kilchasa. Now we're talking about the losases of Shabbos. We're no longer talking about Onig and Kibud. We're talking about being very meticulous not to violate any of the 39 categories of Malacha and not even the Drabbanans. And if a person reaches that level, then he's granted almost an automatic Mechila for all his sins. And that's why we put so much emphasis on observing the Shabbos. Even if he had worshipped an idol, Kidar Enosh, like the generation of Enosh, because Bnei Enosh Tov, Bnei Olam Tov's Kidol, at the time of Enosh, they made a big mistake. They saw the celestial spheres, and they were so awed by them, and they began to think that in stage one, these are the delegates of Almighty God. Stage two, they already sort of left God out of the picture. They started worshiping the Kochavim Umazolos. And even if a person is a continuation, so to speak, he continues the legacy of Dor Enosh, those are the original founders of Avodah Zarah, Mochlin Lo, God will forgive him. And here, the Mefarshim wonder, would God forgive him for Avodah Zarah if he didn't do tshuva? Maybe it means he did a basic tshuva, which normally would not be sufficient to grant him to achieve a complete mechila for a sin of that severity of Avodah Zarah. But because he was so careful and meticulous about observing the Shabbos, God is going to take him, carry him over that red line. And with that minimum amount of tshuva that he did, he will achieve mechila. And how do we know this? Shenemar, in Yeshayahu Navi, in a different chapter, it says, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zol Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. You may remember this from the Haftorah that we recite on the Tainus. And mechalalo, it says mechalalo. And it's referring to specifically someone who observes the Shabbos meticulously. Al tikre mechalalo, right? When you dash in a pasuk, you can change the vocalization, the vowels. You can even take one word and split it into two. You can combine words. I mean, there are many different poetic licenses. In this case, we're going to say, don't read it mechalalo, ela machulo. Actually, we're going to split the word into two, and it's machulo, he will be forgiven. Om Rabbi Yudah Marav, il mole shomru Yisrael Shabbos Rishona, the first Shabbos that the Jewish people were commanded to observe, had they observed it, lo sholtabem umo v'loshon. Right there, then and there, they would have clinched an eternal protection for the people of Israel. No adversaries would have destroyed them. How does Rabbi Yudah Marav know this? Shenemar, it says in the Parsha of Man, in Parsha of Bishalach, it says, after Moshe Rabbeinu says that they shouldn't go out to collect the man on Shabbos, this was the first Shabbos to be observed. And I can imagine Rabbi Goldstein, Shlita, you know, from South Africa, imagine the first Shabbos, imagine what kind of program he would have for that very first Shabbos that could have clinched eternal protection for Klal Yisrael had it been observed. But nevertheless, the Pasuk testifies, Vayhi bayom ha-shvi yotzu min ha-om lilkot. The people of Israel did not have that faith. They went out to the fields, they collected the man on Shabbos itself, chas v'shalom, terrible sin, and they were mechal the Shabbos. Uksiv basrei, and therefore it says immediately afterwards, Vayova ha-molik vayilochem im Yisrael. Amalek came to attack the people of Israel immediately after the Machal Shabbos. And honestly, I don't identify with those people. Tovol and Bracha, let them l'shitosim. They say whenever the something happens, terrorism, chas v'shalom, and this, that, they blame it on Chil Shabbos. That's not my speed. But at least I can identify with, I understand where they're coming from. They are begging the people to observe the Shabbos because we live in a state of Israel where our situation is so vulnerable in both within the terrorism, chas v'shalom, and outside. So we really need the Shmir Shabbos. I mean, obviously we want to be motivated l'shem Shammai, but it's also a tremendous protection for Klal Yisrael. To try to impress upon your average Israeli that Torah study will protect us from our enemies, that's a tall order. And it may take Mashiach for that. But to convince Israelis, especially Sfaradim, who have a tradition, that Shabbos is critical, and if they could sacrifice a little bit for the sake of Shabbos, that will mean worlds for the protection of Israel. That's something I think we can work on. Again, if you're a Lubavitcher, maybe you put more emphasis on tefillin, I don't know. And you never know what to touch a heart of a Jew. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochel Mole Mishamim Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Kil Chasan. All we need is two consecutive Shabbosos that will be observed properly by Klal Yisrael. Is Miyad Nigolim. Yeshayahu HaNavi promises us that the redemption will be forthcoming. Shenemar. Ko amar Hashem la-sorisim. Sorisim are those who cannot have children. Asher yishmeru es shabbososai. Again, from that same chapter that we read in the Haftorah for Atinus, if they observe my Shabboses, and it says shabbososai in plural, two Shabboses, uksiv basrei, the next pasuk says, vavi osim al hakodshi, and that foretells the ultimate geula. On Rabbi Yossi, very strange statement of Rabbi Yossi, Yehichelki mi'ochle sholosh seudas b'shabbos. If it was up to me, I would like to have a portion together with those who observe sholosh seudos b'shabbos. And the Gemara is going to now bring a whole string of statements of Rabbi Yossi, all of which begin with those two words, Yehichelki. And the emphasis on Yehichelki here is that there are certain aspects of Jewish observance that are not observed properly. People are not makpid, and he wants to be mizariz them. He wants to give them an extra chizuk that they should be careful about them. And one thing he wants to give is chizuk from the top, first on his list is Shalosh Sudos. Now the next statement of Rav Yossi is problematic. He says, Yechelkim Igomrei Halel B'chol Yom. Well, wait a second. We don't recite Halel B'chol Yom. Not only that, Eini, is that so? Amar Mar, we have a very famous regulation, a formulation of the Chachamim, Akori Halel B'chol Yom, Arezem Acharev U'megadev, that if you recite Halel on a daily basis, that's considered blasphemy. Because it's as if you're saying that I don't see God in nature, I only see God in supernature, in supernatural events. We have to find God within nature. That's what all the Tehillim are about, that we recite on a daily basis in Shacharis. So how could it be that Rabbi Yossi praises those who are Gomrei Halel B'chol Yom? And the answer is Kikam Rinan. What did Rabbi Yossi mean by Gomrei Halel? He didn't mean the Halel Mitzri, the famous Halel that we recite on a day in which we commemorate a miracle, but rather he's referring to the daily Halel of Psukei Dezimra. Halel, like Yaluas Hashem, Min HaShamayim, Alu Kel B'Kodesh, all these Psukim in Tehillim, which we recite on a daily basis, in which we attribute all of nature and all of the beautiful natural daily events and occurrences to Almighty God, they're all miracles. On Rav Yossi Echelki, Mimispalim, Mimdumdume Chama. And it means that he would get up early in the morning, and as soon as the sun would be seen on the horizon, we call it Netzach Chama, he was already ready for Shemot Esrei. And in the evening, also, he would daven Mincha close to Shkia. The poskim say that although, and this is based on mystical thinking, the best time to daven Mincha would be as close as possible to Shkia, but nevertheless, we daven earlier, and probably the earliest the better, because Mincha is a very tricky tefillah, especially during the winter, and we don't want to miss it. Amar Rav Chiya bar Amar Rav Yochanan, mitzvah l'spalim du milchama Rav Zera Maikra. What is the basis for this hanetz? And he says, the pasuk says, in Tehillim Yiru'ucha im shemesh v'lifnei yoreach dor dorim. And Yiru'ucha im shemesh means we will fear God with sunrise. And that's Tefillah Shacharis. And it should be at the time of Hanetzach Chama. Im Shemesh means Hanetz. And then it says, V'lifnei Yoreach, that's a reference to Tefillah Mincha, before the moon comes out. And it should be before the Ora Yoreach, meaning as soon as close as possible to Shkia Sachama, after which we'll see the light of the moon. Om Rabbi Yossi Echelkimi Mesi Becholime. A very strange statement of Rabbi Yossi. He says, I want to die of intestinal diseases. Why would anybody wish such a thing on himself? The Omer Mar, because the Chachamim used to say, Rubot Shal Tzadikim Mesim Becholime Ayim. And Cholei Me'ayim, which means intestinal diseases that can do you under, if someone never has Yeramachla in the Kishkis, you know, now the science is a little bit more advanced, they, you know, you can keep them alive for a couple of months, but I remember my stepfather, may he rest in peace, Rabbi Yeshua Cohen, married my mother's second marriage, and he died of intestinal diseases. I mean, it was really quick. I mean, you know, within weeks they had him in a hospice. Oh, it's terrible. So that's called Miruk Avonoseihem. And somehow, if we talk about any kind of a sin, in inverted commas, for a tzaddikim, it's because of achila. Maybe they don't eat properly, they ate too much, they didn't have the proper kavana when they ate. And the Miruk Avonos, which sort of cleanses the system on a spiritual level, is going to be Cholei Me'ayim. And Rabbi Yossi thinks that he wants to be zochet to that kind of a misa of tzaddikim, because that'll be merarik, his avonis will clean him of his sins. On Rabbi Yossi, Echelki Mimesi B'derech Mitzvah, that a person should die after he fulfills a mitzvah, and usually when a person is involved in a mitzvah, he's guaranteed protection. But that's only protection from the mitzvah itself. But there may be a time period when he's not actually at that moment involved in the mitzvah, and yet he might, and therefore he might actually perish. Now, I wanted to read to you one note over here. He says the following. Those who suffer from intestinal disease, he says, are cleansed of their sins. And there's a special spiritual quality associated with those who end their lives while attempting to fulfill a mitzvah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi actually once had a survey. He entered into Gan Eden and he found 7 houses there. The 6th one was dedicated for those who die on the way to a mitzvah. And this has to do with hashlama, with the concept of dying out of perfection. Like, for example, a person has a challenge of 1 year of his life, and when he concludes that year, if he dies on that day, it means he exploited it to its maximum. So the idea of dying with a mitzvah is symbolic, metaphorically, of having that completion. He did that very last mitzvah that he had to fulfill, for which he was brought to this world. V'omar Rabbi Yossi, Eichelki mimachnisei Shabbos b'Tveria u'mimotzie Shabbos b'Tzipori. It's a great thing to receive the Shabbos early and to continue the Shabbos late. That's called makdimim lavo u'ma'achrim lotzeis in our Zmiros. So in Tveria, because Tveria is very low and there are many mountains around it, and those mountains will cloud the view of the sunlight, so therefore you have to accept Shabbos early. Tzipori, on the other hand, is up in the mountains, and you can see the Shkiyas HaChama very clearly from the mountains up on high, and therefore Yoshvim Bahar, so they're still seeing the sun from that high position, so they're going to continue the Shabbos even later. I don't mind being part of that group that collects tzedakah, but I don't want to be part of that group that has to divvy out the tzedakah to the aniyim. Because those who have to divvy out the tzedakah, they have to check each one of the candidates, and they have to shots up exactly how much he needs. And it's very easy emotionally to get involved and identify with a particular ani. You might want to give him a little preferential treatment, and you might give him more than what's really coming to him. It's a very difficult, challenging position. Rabbi Yossi, Yelcheki Mimisha Choshtin Oso V'Einbo. This is a wild idea, and he wants to be amongst those who are suspected by the people of sin when he's not guilty of that sin. Omer HaPapal Didi Chashton V'lo Havisbi. I actually experienced this. I fit into this category that Rabbi Yossi is describing. Now, why would a person want to be suspect, and then in essence he's free of guilt? He writes here in the name of Rasha, if a person can tolerate the baseless suspicions against him, that's a great atonement, it's a great kapara for him. Again, this doesn't apply for someone who brings suspicions upon himself. The Rasha says that Rav Papa refers to an incident in the Gemara of Baba Basra. He was climbing a ladder. His foot slipped on one of the rungs. He nearly fell to his death. Rav Papa did not understand why he deserved this particular kind of a death. It's almost like stoning. And another Amora suggested that perhaps a poor person had come to him. Rav Papa was the administrator of a charity fund, and he had neglected to assist him. Rav Papa states that this was an undeserved reproach. He wasn't guilty as suspected. Okay, the Gemara now continues. Om Rabbi Yossi, Chamesh Be'ilos Ba'alti, Vinatati Chamisha Arozim v'Yisrael. Now, I'm going to interpret it the way the Gemara understood it in the Havamina, but don't take this seriously. But he seems to testify about himself that during the course of his married life, he only had a marital relationship with his wife 5 times during the time of his life. And he is boasting the fact that he has 5 sons. We'll see their names very soon. They were all cedars in Israel. That's the tallest tree that we have. The Gemara says, Umayninu, who are they? Here's the list: Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilis Bar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi. These are the 5 sons, the great Tanoim that were descendants, children of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says, wait a minute, you're insulting his 6th son, you haven't added him. Va'ika Vardamis. So the Gemara answers, Hainu Vardamis, Hainu Menachem. One of his 5 sons listed here was Menachem, and that's Vardamis. Vamai Korile Vardamis, a very strange name. It's a nickname. Videsha Domim Panov Domim Leveret. So Vered, which is the root of the word Vardamis, is a rose. And a rose has a beautiful, radiant complexion, and that's the complexion of this Rabbi Menachem, the son of Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara asks, Lememra de Rabbi Yossi, Mitzvah Ona Lokiem. We have a mitzvah to have relations with each one with his wife on a regular basis. That's a mitzvah of Ono, which is a Doraisa. And can you tell me that Rabbi Yossi did not fulfill that obligation? He only had relationships 5 times in his life. Ela Ema. But rather, you should say, Chamesh Bilos Ba'alti V'Shanisi. The Gemara says in Masechta Nida and in Masechta Erevin that if a person wants to have male children, boys, then the skula is to have a relationship and then have another one immediately afterwards. So he says, Chamesh Be'ilos, on 5 occasions I used this skula and I repeated the Be'ila and I had 5 sons. Om Rav Yossi, Miyomai lo karasi li ishti ishti, ula shori shori. I never called my wife, my ox, ula ishti basi. She keeps the bias going. And therefore I call her my bias, Ulishori Sadi. And my ox I call my field, because in order to work the field I need the ox. And his strength keeps the field going. Om Rabbi Yossi, Miyomai lo nistakalti b'mila shali. This is an amazing, extreme kind of tznius. And Rabbi Yossi wants to teach us, again he's not boasting, but he wants us to emulate, I guess, his extreme modesty. He never gazed at his male member, which he calls Mila, his circumcised member. Eini, is this possible? For Amrule le Rebbe, they told Rebbe, my time of Karu lecha Rebbe HaKadosh, why you consider the holy teacher of Israel? Amrulehu, mi yomai lo nistakalti b'mila shali. Now, we never found that Rabbi Yossi is called Rabbi Yossi HaKadosh. And it seems that Rebbe is that unique person that gets the appellation HaKadosh. He reached that highest level because he had that extreme modesty. So the Gemara answers, B'Rabbi Milsachrita Havibe. Rebbe Reuven Anossi is called HaKadosh because he had an additional expression of modesty that took him even beyond that. Shelo Hichnis Yodo Tachas Avneto. He never actually put his hand below his belt because he might come in contact with his organ and it might get aroused and he might come to Motzi Zara Levatola. V'yomar Rabbi Yossi, v'yomai lo ro, koros besi imri chaluki. The beams of my house, the walls of my house, never saw the seams of my tunic. Okay, in other words, he was very careful about getting undressed. V'yomar Rabbi Yossi, v'yomai lo avarti al direi chaveri. I never violated the words of my colleagues. Yodea ani bi'atzmi she'eni kohen. He gives an example. I know about myself, I'm not a kohen. Im omrim lo chaveri alei l'duchen. And yet, even though I know I'm not a kohen, if my colleagues would tell me go up in duchen, then ani ola. I want to make them happy, I want to observe their law. Now here's a long discussion about how a non-kohen could ever go up in duchen. V'yomer Rabbi Yossi, v'yomer lo avart amarti dovar v'chazarti lachorai. I never said something and I was contradicted by someone else and I had to rescind my original position. And the Mefarshim interpret this in a more metaphoric way, that if I said something negative about someone, and he would come to ask me, did you indeed say such a thing, I never had to deny my words, because I never spoke Lashon Hara. Anything I said that was negative, I would have said in his presence, because that's not called Lashon Hara. Again, we'd have to learn the laws of Lashon Hara to appreciate this. Amar Rav Nachman, Tesi li dekiyamti sholosh sudas b'Shabbos. He's hoping that he'll be rewarded for the way he fulfilled the three meals of Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Tesi li dekiyamtis iyun tefila. Every person, every gadol has his mitzvah that he excels in. So Rav Yehuda says, my favorite mitzvah is I contemplate prayer. I think carefully and concentrate on my prayers. Amar Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yeshua, Tasily I should be rewarded. Delo Sagi Arba Amos Begili Rosh. I never walked 4 Amos without a yarmulke on my head. Amar Rav Sheshes, Tasily, what's my claim to fame, to reward, is the Kaim's mitzvah tefillin. I was very careful about the mitzvah of tefillin. And it probably means he never walked 4 Amos without tefillin. That's how the Rambam formulates it. The Omer of Nachman, Tesi li de kiamsis mitzvah tzitzis, I never walked 4 Amos without tzitzis. Omer le Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef, Rei de Rabba, Avuch b'mai zor tfe. Can you tell me something about your father, Rabba? What was he very careful about? Omer le, he says, b'tzitzis. He chose as his special mitzvah tzitzis. And I'll illustrate it to you with the following story. Yoma chada havaka solik bedarga. He was climbing up a ladder on one day. Ifsik lei chuta. One of the strands of his tzitzis got caught up in one of the rungs of the ladder and got ripped. V'lo nachis. And he didn't want to come down from the ladder. V'asa kama delo ramya. Until finally, he was able to replace that one string that got ripped off. Yomar Abaye, Tesi li dechichazina tzurba mirabonon desholem mesechta. I should get rewarded because if I ever see a young scholar who completes a tractate in the Talmud, is avidolo yoma tavel rabonon. I'm going to pay all the money for the celebration and the yontif when a chacham completes a tractate of the Talmud.